Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Happy to share that overall crime from PPD shows a 28.6% drop in crime from 2023 to 2025. So that's over a two-year stretch. I'll give you some of additional numbers over a two-year stretch. We will get all of these numbers to you year by year, 23, 24, 25. Generally speaking, all of them were precipitous decreases. It wasn't high in 23 and then low in 24 and higher in 25. It's been on a great trend line, all of these.
Yeah, I mean, that's all good. That's kind of what we had expected, but that is certainly great news to have a precipitous decline in across-the-board crime numbers in the city of Pensacola. The mayor yesterday at his press conference announcing all of this.
Year-over-year decreases in both violent crime and property crime have continued. Those over the past 2 years, violent crime has dropped 25.4%. Property crime has dropped 29.3%. And then over the past 2 years, there's been significant drops in thefts, with the down 34.1. Grand theft auto down 38. Vehicle burglaries down 20%. And those are the ones that make up the property crime rate that you guys will see when we look, when it says property crime. Those are the key metrics there.
I'll be honest, when he said grand theft auto, did you start thinking about the video game?
Oh, I did. And GTA 6 is coming out, baby.
I know you did. I know you
did. That's why I smiled.
I know. I caught it. I saw that, and I thought, I know why John's laughing at that. What's so funny about Grand Theft Auto? Nothing.
Nothing at all.
The mayor's talking about crime dibs. I'm thinking about video games.
Decreases attempted homicide, 78.5%. Robberies, 52%. And a nearly 21.8% drop in aggravated battery assault are the violent crime stats that you'll see. So
I would say I have not looked at the numbers to know this is true, but my guess would be that huge drop in attempted murders. This is what happens when I get up late and I haven't had coffee yet. John, this is, you get raw Andrew right now.
Wow.
Under caffeinated Andrew. My guess is that 70%+ drop is because it's a small number to begin with. Therefore, higher variation, you know, is more likely statistically, because the other numbers you're talking in that same 20-30% range. So that'd be my guess on that. But anyway, all good news. I mean, all very, very good news. Other news. Do you remember the dust up over the Food Not Bombs folks with Mike Kimbrell feeding people at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and, you know, Mike getting arrested? I think you can make the case that he wanted to get arrested because, you know, they want to protest the ability of the government to prevent you from engaging in feeding the homeless, which is an act of speech or expression in their minds. It's kind of a just, you know, long backstory here. But the short version is they've been doing this for forever. And then, you know, one day one of the PPD officers comes over and, you know, says, hey, you can't do this. It's, the park is closed. You can't be here. And there's complicated issues about things like a walking path through that park, because it's a park slash crosswalk slash sidewalk, public area on Palafox, which definitely does not close at, you know, sundown or 6 o'clock or whatever. Anyway, so one of the things that the mayor had said is, you know, the rules about when these parks are closed are super squirrely. They're varied all over the place. It's, you know, like every time somebody asked the question, when should a park close, they got out the spinning wheel of park closure death, you know, and they, this one's 6 o'clock, this one's 10, this one's sundown. That's actually, the wheel doesn't actually sound like that.
I've
heard the actual wheel. I just didn't record the sound, so I'm kind of replicating it for you, because, you know, that's what a good journalist does, is you try to produce as much of the realism of the event.
I just want to thank you for that. I feel more involved.
That's what I do. I go on scene and I find authenticity for you, so that when I'm telling you these stories, you really feel like you know what's going on. Like when they're talking about what time to close Community Maritime Park, they spin the wheel and they find out.
Thank you, Andrew. I feel much better.
You thought no caffeine would be different somehow. No. No, it's still me.
Park hours. Our staff has completed a comprehensive review across 95 parks. Obviously, this conversation has come up most recently with MLK Plaza. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to stop the process of one thing happening at one park and then changing hours, which is actually what has been happening historically at our parks. We had several park hours that at different parts of the city that even to this moment, we don't necessarily know why. It was just probably a decision made much like this, where something happened at the park. We want to find an amicable solution. So we band-aid it with just changing the hours at one park or changing the rules at one park.
Yeah, I mean, something happens, and so we say, well, that park can stay open until 11. I mean, literally, Plaza Ferdinand, you know, with the big monument downtown, it's kind of Jackson Square, kind of you might think of it, is the hours were 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Meanwhile, Admiral Mason Park and Veterans Memorial Park, which are, you know, right next to each other, it would have been kind of funny if they'd had different hours. That would have been funny. Like, Admiral Mason Park is sun up to sundown, and Veterans Memorial Park is 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. You know, like, that would have been, I don't know. I'm easily amused. So, anyway, those were both 6 to 10. You say, what's the difference? Exactly. Nobody knows. Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and Community Maritime Park were sunrise to sunset. I feel like singing some Fiddler on the Roof now. John, do you know Fiddler on the Roof?
Yes.
Sunrise.
Oh, okay.
Sunset.
I was like,
no, okay.
Sorry. Where are we going?
I definitely need to go get coffee. Anyway, he's now standardizing all of these parks because it is silly that they're all different.
He completed that comprehensive review. There'll be all of them will remain sunrise to sunset except for five exceptions to sunrise to sunset.
When he keeps saying it, you can't not hear it now, right?
He keeps saying
sunrise to sunset, and you keep hearing Fiddler.
That's Admiral Mason Park, Community Maritime Park, MLK Plaza, Plaza Ferdinand, and Veterans Memorial Park. Those will be sunrise at 10 p.m.
So that's good. I mean, it's simple. And then also other ones, all the other 90 or 88 parks or whatever around the area.
Additionally, sorry, several lighted sports areas are open till 10 p.m. as well. Forgot to mention Blake Doyle Skate Park, Bayview Tennis Courts, H.K. Matthews Basketball Courts, Roger Scott Tennis Courts, and then the new signage will be starting to go up at those specific locations next week.
So all the parks have one set of hours, right? There's the default set from now on going forward, which will be I was not paying enough attention. The five parks that are sunrise to 10 p.m. are going to be Martin Luther King Jr., Admiral Mason Park, Veterans Memorial Park, Connected, Community Maritime Park, and Plaza Ferdinand. Blake Doyle Skate Park in Bayview go to 10, although he was asked, well, I thought that Blake Doyle Skate Park was till midnight, and he said, I'll get back to you because it'll be whatever it was. They're not trying to restrict the hours there. Everything else is standardized to sunrise to sunset. So, parks were closing at 9, parks were closing at 10, parks were opening at sunrise, some were opening at 7, some were opening at 6. Morella Park was at 5. it's in the grand scheme of things you discover are goofy about the house you live in when you move into it, you know, because if it's not a brand new house, even if it's a new house, but if it's a used house, especially if it's been around for a while, you're always going to discover something. And it really is. Every park was completely different, and there was no system to it all. And so now they've just kind of come in and standardized it so that it's clear for everybody. And the key, it's going to be interesting because you might say, well, okay, what is it at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza? Well, it's still 10 o'clock. Okay. So what now is going to happen with Food Not Bombs? Are they going to come in and, you know, feed people at 10:30 and see what happens? I would think they'll feed everybody at 6, which is what they've been doing for years. Are they going to change locations to go to a different park to push the, you know, post-sundown rules? Well, they might. I don't want to speak for Mike Kimbrell, but I could see how they might. But then again, they'd be sacrificing centrality of location if they did that. So we'll see. You know, your move. Here's what we've done. This... I can't believe I'm going to say this word on the radio. Obviates the problem.
Hello? We need coffee. Stat.
I wish I could tell you. I'm going to try to tell you what happened. So I used this word, and John gave me, you know, what John does. He just gives me the, what in the hell did you just say? I don't understand.
Come on, stink guy, John.
And then from the other room, David, like, poked his head up, like, up Periscope on the submarine because he's hiding over there behind the computers. He looks at me like, look, Bad Bunny can do the halftime show in Spanish, but son, this is American Talk Radio. You better use English.
Yes. I'm trying to pull it up on the Webster's Dictionary. I don't think
O-B- it exists. O-B-V-I-A-T-E. Let's go ahead. Come on, fact check me. You got it? What do you got?
Hold on. Hold
Come
on.
On. Type faster, son. I know you're working on a Windows 95 machine over there.
I know.
There we go. All right. To keep from happening or render unnecessary. Okay. I guess it exists.
Great word. In the uncaffeinated moment that I had the right word, and I couldn't come up with a suitably easier to understand substitute. So you get what you get. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here on the Gulf Coast, barbecue's got soul. Voodoo Barbecue brings that New Orleans flavor to Pensacola. Slow smoked meats, bold spices, and recipes that don't rush a good thing. Voodoo Barbecue is locally owned, locally staffed, and serves barbecue the way it's meant to be. Low and slow, Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork packed with flavor, the way barbecue is meant to taste, oh yeah. Plus sides with that New Orleans flair. Voodoo Barbecue, a 9 mile road in the Target Shopping Center. Online at voodoobbq.com. Get your mm-mms ready and come taste the magic.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
What if I told you there's money hidden in your home? Not under the mattress, not in the couch cushions, but real money waiting to be put to good use. With a home equity line from PenAir Credit Union, you can tap into your home's value for renovations, big projects, or whatever's next. No annual fees, no closing costs, just smart, flexible funding backed by a local team. Your home's got extra cash. Put it to work. Learn more at penair.org/home equity. Equal housing lender.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hello! My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Stop saying that!
I think that was David's response to my particular vocabulary choice a moment ago. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you've got a house to sell, or you're wanting to buy a house, or as you know does sometimes happen, you want to do both, give Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty a call. They're just incredibly effective at getting homes sold, especially homes that are hard to sell. One of the things she was telling me recently, because they're actually up last year. In a hard market, you know, they were up 30%. They'd sold 165 homes the year before in 2024. In 23, they sold 175. In the market when it was hot, before that, they were selling over 200. Then the market cooled, changed interest rates, people's reluctance to sell, holding onto their homes, all the stuff that's happening right now. Well, this last year, they went from 165 in 24 up to 209 in 2025. So they're up 30% in a hard market. Well, why? She says, I don't know. We just are able to sell the homes that other people have trouble selling. She says people come to her after they've had a realtor that couldn't sell a home, 2 realtors, 3 realtors. 2 people had 5 realtors came to her and she sold their home. And then 1 person even had 7 prior realtors, couldn't sell a home. And I still can't wrap my brain around that because, you know, if you tried to sell a home with even one realtor and it didn't work for a while, you know, you switch. And then if it's two, you're like, what's wrong with me? It's my home. Nobody wants my home. Seven? Oh, my God. Anyway, so they just get it done. 4 a week, a lot of experience. Treat you right. You'll talk to them. Find out why. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
I sure am. A man who was detained by Arizona authorities for the alleged kidnapping of Nancy Guthrie says he had no idea who she was. The 84-year-old mother of Savannah Guthrie was reported missing February 1st, of course. This morning, the man was released and told reporters it was the first time he had ever heard of Guthrie. The U.S. has picked up 5 medals for its most successful days so far at the Winter Olympics. Ben Ogden won the silver medal in cross-country skiing, becoming the first American to medal the discipline in 50 years. The U.S. now has 7 medals total, including 2 gold. Norway leads all nations with 12.
Yeah, that's a pretty, I mean, it is pretty wild. First time in 50 years, right? Cross country, right? Wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, which by the way, this may come up later. This might be our frivolous topic, but of all, and I, you know me, I love the Olympics. I like the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics. I love all the sports, almost all of the sports, except cross country. Have you ever watched a more boring thing than cross country? Unless it's marathon running?
No. I can't say I've really watched a whole lot of cross country as well.
Over here, I have a can of paint open, exposed to the air and drying out. Over here, over here, I have people running in the snow.
I'll take the paint.
Yeah. Well, oh, look, it's time for a commercial. You know. So go on, David.
And 2 House Republicans calling for an FCC probe of Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime performance. ESPN says 128 million people tuned in to see that. Tennessee Republican Andy, is it Ogles or Ogles?
Well, I don't know. Never heard of him.
Never heard of him? Okay, then. Well, then we'll go with Ogles because I like it more. He complained that it contained widespread twerking.
Well, yeah, like every Super Bowl for the last 2 decades. But all right, go on. That's true. I mean, they did.
And
not Jessica Alba. She was just standing there swaying back and forth, and Pedro Pascal didn't. But the girls in front of them were definitely, yes, rump shaking.
I don't know. I was watching Kid Rock. He didn't twerk. Florida's Randy Fine claims that some of the rapper's Spanish lyrics were pornographic. But how would you know?
Yeah, and I mean, if a Puerto Rican swears at the halftime show of the Super Bowl and nobody understands it, is it an FCC violation? Seems to me like the answer is no, but okay. So that's what they're trying to investigate to get him on Spanish profanity, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
You go, guys. Yep. You're the best.
Sounds like a good use of government resources.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, do you know the set that he brought in? I did not realize this at the time. I read an article about it afterwards. The set that he brought in with all of the grass, you know, the Puerto Rican grass that was the basis of the maze that he did all the dancing in. That was not grass. That was dancers dressed up to look like grass, because apparently there's some kind of like a how much stuff you can put on the field limitation, but there's no limit on how many people dancing and dressed up you can have. So their solution was to recreate a Puerto Rican, you know, marsh or whatever by having people dressed up as grass come in there, and then that's why the grass was kind of moving the way it was. Like, what?
We've got your breakthrough acting role.
I know.
You're going to play a blade of grass. What?
Hey. Work is hard to come by in the acting profession, so there you go. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. I just thought that was kind of a wild thing to learn. Hey, if you've got a company, you've got employees, you got to deal with benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, payroll, you know, all this stuff, the stuff that is unfun. You get into business because you want to make money and you want to do a thing that you're good at and you enjoy, and then you also have to manage employees, which is maybe not everybody's favorite thing. Well, guess what? You want it to be good for them because that's how you keep and retain, you know, retain and attract them. That's how you make a good workplace, but also you want to save them money. And call Torgerson Consulting. This is what they've been doing for more than 2 decades for local businesses. We've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 5 years. and they're great. They, you know, have provided choices in our health and dental insurance we did not have before. It's kind of like take it or leave it. And they came in and gave us alternatives. Every year they go out and scour the marketplace to find the best available plans for us. Now that, you know, they're not miracle workers. They can't make stuff happen that doesn't exist, but they're good. And customer service is fantastic. If we have questions, we call them. They have answers. They're just extraordinarily top-notch. I firm up, thumbs up. Check them out at tcbenefitsgroup.com or 433-9996.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Day 11 in the search for Nancy Guthrie. Pima County, Arizona deputies detained a man during a traffic stop south of Tucson, questioning him, letting him go. Fox's Matt Finn spoke to the man, identified himself as Carlos Pelazuelos, and said he delivers packages in the area.
Do you think you might have delivered a package to Nancy Guthrie's house?
I don't know. Might have been a possibility. I don't know.
He added the police.
Until right now, all I know is that they show my in-law a picture of somebody wearing a mask or something, mm-hmm. and they supposedly looked like my eyes.
Earlier Tuesday, officials released Nest video of an armed man outside Nancy Guthrie's home the night she disappeared. President Trump welcomes America's closest ally in the Middle East to the White House. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wants a deal that limits Iran's nuclear program, missiles, and proxy forces. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. Nice warm morning, though. We've got 60 degrees. We'll get our full forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. Well, the city of Pensacola is seeing a crime decline for the second straight year. Overall crime is down 28.6% from 2023 to 2025. Violent crime fell 25.4%. And property crime is down 29.3%. Mayor D.C. Reeves crediting the community's culture and technology for helping drive that decrease. He said thefts were down 34%. Grand theft auto down was down 38%. Vehicle burglaries down 20%. And attempted homicide was down 78.5%. Robberies down over 50%. Acting Police Chief Kristen Brown says officer retention efforts have allowed the city's police force to work more proactively. Florida Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins announced proposed pay increases for state correctional officers on Monday at the Santa Rosa Correctional Institution. And Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says he's got a question. What happens to local jails? The proposal would raise starting pay for state corrections officers from $22 to $28 an hour as part of a $374 million plan. Sheriff Simmons says he backs the raise, but he is worried county facilities could lose officers to better-paying state jobs.
Every time I hear about it, I'm thinking, well, what are you doing for the local jail? What are you doing for the municipal jail? I'm wondering what this is going to bring the state corrections mm-hmm. to and what the county corrections officers are to. And
Simmons does say he hopes a solution is in the works, but he wants to make sure lawmakers understand the ripple effect it can have on local agencies. Well, a crowd gathered at the Santa Rosa County Courthouse this week in support of a mother whose child was removed by the Department of Children and Families. Donna Long was at the Santa Rosa Board of County Commissioners meeting on Tuesday. She urged commissioners to attend the next gathering on April 23rd.
This is very serious. We can't have a government agency of any kind just walking in your house and taking one of your children because they think you may have done something wrong. They did it. They did not have evidence. They did not have what they needed. There was no warrant or anything to remove this child from her home.
And Long said she believes families are at risk if the county doesn't take a stand. State Senator Gates attended Monday's courthouse gathering. Now, the case was continued until April 23rd at 8 in the morning. The University of West Florida has received a $2 million grant from the National Science Foundation to support STEM students. The six-year award will provide scholarships to 38 students who are eligible for Pell Grants. The program will also embed mental health resources within existing STEM living learning community on campus. And Dr. Karen Molak is leading that project. She says it's impossible for students to focus on learning if they're worried about attending, if they're worried about affording their next meal or if they aren't connected to campus resources. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some patchy, dense fog as you go through the morning hours. Clears out as you head into the afternoon, high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, we are going to be seeing temperatures drop near 56 degrees after some showers move through. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 52. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 60. We've got cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Are you tired of old arguments that go nowhere? Are you looking to transform your relationship? Local to the Gulf Coast and nationally recognized relationship coach Julie Nice has helped over 8,000 people turn conflict into clarity. Julie brings empathy, practicality, and proven strategies that create lasting change. From rebuilding trust after betrayal to leading through listening, Julie's programs reset the way you connect. Visit outcomesonly.com today because better communication means better relationships.
Let's talk a little bit about economic investment.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves delivered the State of the City address.
We really have two exciting projects we were obviously elated to announce.
And News Radio covered it live.
A new Palafox. So we are on time and on schedule, right, Adrian? May 24th, this project certainly was an incentivized completion to be done in 5 months. We promised the small business owners.
News. It's what we do. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Everything in our state, everything in our communities, everything in our home starts with safety. And the sheriff is the belly button. He is the leader in the community and somebody that we need to know completely so we can provide him what he needs to protect our most valuable and precious commodity, and that's our people.
All right, so before we get into any of the important stuff, I need to find out from Sheriff Chip Simmons, do you feel like you are the belly button of the community?
I don't think I've ever heard the belly button. And I know on Stripes, Sergeant Hoka was the big toe.
Yeah, there you go. And our big toe. Yeah.
But the belly button? Is that what you really said?
That's what he said, yeah. Okay. Somebody told me it was a military thing.
That it must be.
The person you can poke in the belly button and say, I need answers on this, you know, like that kind of an idea. I don't know. The person who's responsible ultimately.
Okay. No, if that's their tradition, I think I'll let them go with the.
So obviously that's not the important stuff of the day, but I thought it was funny. Made me laugh.
So the Army has the belly button and the Navy has the navel? Is that kind of where we're at? No?
Oh,
where's my symbol?
No. You 100% have earned this now, sir.
Boo.
That is a two boo from Jonathan Green. Well done, though. It was good. It was clever. I like it. You know me. I laugh. It's funny. All right. Jay Collins was here, and he was talking about corrections. He's talking about funding for COs, funding for infrastructure, funding for security inside the jail, all of that stuff. I'm a big advocate. For years, our state prison system has been underfunded. This has led to dilapidated facilities, even some abandoned facilities, underpaid COs, I mean, all of that. So they're remedying that. You, of course, know a lot about this. Your experience as sheriff, you ran the jail as the deputy county administrator for a while after you were the PPD chief. So you've got that same kind of, you know, experience of the other side, experience of, you know, the results of law enforcement, which I think is a very telling thing. It's a great thing. But, I didn't know if you had thoughts about this funding issue or raising pay and, you know, building facilities or remedying them.
I'm always going to be in support of raising pay and treating your first responders correctly and fairly. But every time I hear about them, I think, well, what are you doing for the local jail? What are you doing for the municipal jail? I'm wondering what this is going to bring the state corrections too, and what the county corrections officers are too. And I know that the fiscally constrained counties throughout the state of Florida, they get a stipend from the state to compete with the highway patrols and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And I don't know the answer to this. So my question, though, is do they do the same thing for local? Here's my question. And I know many of the people here in Escambia County Jail, right, in a local jail.
Yeah.
And I just hope they're being addressed as well. I mean, that's great. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, and doing a good job. And I applaud it. And I'm glad, because I also know a lot of state corrections officers.
Yeah.
And it's not just corrections officers. It's probation, parole, as I understand it, as well. And the state does a really good job of, I think, the Florida Highway Patrol has gotten raise after raise to 20% and 20%. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, it makes it difficult for local law enforcement to recruit. And my fear is it's doing the same thing with the correction side.
I was going to ask you that exact thing, because on the one hand, you and I are completely in alignment. You know, the jail is a part of the corrections, the law enforcement process. We need to celebrate them. I think sometimes we have a gap in our cognition that we celebrate, you know, cops and sheriff's deputies, and we don't celebrate the COs, which they absolutely should be the same way. We need to put the money into it. That's not a sexy political thing. That's just it needs to be done. It has to be done. But I had the same exact thought when you were talking through it, is if we're giving them, you know, a $6 an hour raise on start, you know, from $22 to $28 an hour, what does that mean for the employees at the Escambia County Jail and the Santa Rosa County Jail and, you know, all your county jails? Just like if you suddenly bump the pay for FHP or FDLE, that means that some of your deputies are going to be like, hey, what about us? Or PPD is going to be, hey, what about us? And this kind of escalating price war for law enforcement labor is not good for anybody if the taxpayers are continually having to fork out more and more money for it. I'm not against any of the pay raises because I want to see you guys get your due, but, you know, they're now playing one against the other, and, you know, that's not good. It's like churches getting their growth from some other church down the road.
I can tell you that when we worked on our three-year deal with the Board of County Commissioners, my chief of staff, Whitney Lucas, and I went to them and said, this is why we need more money, because FHP is set to get this much money. Mm. PPD is set to get this much money. We hire more than any of those, both of those combined. And if we can't match that or exceed that, then we're going to be, you know, the citizens of Escambia County are going to ultimately suffer from that. And to their credit, they did a really good job of saying, okay, we agree with you. We want a safe community. We want to make sure that we treat our first responders correctly.
Yeah.
I guess my point is, when I heard that, I always, yeah, but what are you doing for our people? What are you doing for our county people?
Right.
And they may be working on something. I'm speaking probably out of turn, but I think to bring attention to something and that's on top of your mind, to use your words before we got on here, I think it's always important. Again, as a former corrections officer, as chief corrections officer, we need people that can watch these people, and take care of these people and make sure that they stay in that building. And so I think that's important. And I'm sure smart people are working on this.
Well, and you know, it's a lot of money they're putting into the pay raises and the hiring of new staff. And I just hope I hope that there's a part two coming where they're putting some kind of, you know, statewide help for the locals, where, I mean, they're literally going to be causing this problem as they're trying to take away property taxes.
It's
and all
already
the other,
a problem in my mind. They're going to make it worse.
It. Right.
I'm not saying the state corrections officers shouldn't get money. They certainly should get the funding. But again, I think that they couldn't there be some coordination? Hey, you're giving your people, and I'll be honest, when I was a police chief, we would talk a lot with the other cities and the counties and the sheriff's office. What are you going to get? What are you going to get? And we would be honest with each other, because we knew that if one entity got a 20% pay raise, it was going to really devastate the rest of us. And
yeah.
So that's why, you know, a lot of times we talk a little bit. And
this is a 30% pay raise. I mean, not quite. One. It's close to 30%. It's 22 to 20, 28. $6 on 22 is almost 30%. That's a huge, that's a huge.
I guess I just don't know how the local communities, the local Board of County Commissioners can hang with that.
No, it's a great question. I had not been thinking about it until you said it, so I appreciate you bringing it up. I didn't mean to dwell on this so much, but I have a follow-up thought for you, Sheriff, as we're talking about this, the pay raise. If you raise the pay, the theory is you're going to get more people come in, but typically it's going to come in at the expense of there would otherwise go to, like, the county jail, for example. You're going to get COs leave one ship to go work at the other ship is kind of, you know. If you're not trying to just broaden the pool, then you're not solving the problem, because we have a aggregate need for so many corrections officers across every level of jail, state, federal, and local. And if all you're doing is incentivizing them to go from one to the other, that's not solving the problem of there not being enough in total to handle the prison population, right?
Right. And I think there's two parts here. One is it's not all about money.
Right.
It is about work environment. It's about professionalism. It's about a standard that you set. It's about having an attractive location where people want to work. We've worked very hard over the last couple of years on making the Escambia County Sheriff's Office the premier, and I can say it because I'm competitive, the premier agency in the region.
Right.
In fact, we just got back last week. We went to Washington, D.C. because they asked us to present on some of the programs that we have here in Escambia County. I think those are very important things. And so it is money. It's about money to a degree, but you have to retain them. You have to keep them. You have to broaden your pool. And really, we're not recruiting in New Hampshire or California. We're recruiting right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And our thoughts are is if you want to be a part of this team and you see what we do, you see what we look like, you see how we train, you see what our the opportunities are, then come to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And it's done very well with the Sheriff's Office. I'm not.
You're flush. You have more candidates than you need.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily complaining on my behalf. I'm complaining on our fellow law enforcement officers. The corrections officers, and it's not really a complaint. It's more of an observation and a question, you know.
And let's
consider them as well.
And I would say that, and you guys show this here, is if you think that money is the solution to all these things, it never will be, and that shows the problem, because the real problem is culture, professionalism, values, treatment of employees, which there a slice of that is money, but money's never the big issue for that stuff. And if you can fix the other stuff, then you solve the problem. So I totally.
And since you got me on a roll here, I'm leaving here and I'm going to go talk to our new hire class. We have our own academy, which also is another thing. And my first thing is to say thank you for choosing to be at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And then I will to show them, this is the picture that I'm going to paint to you. This is your career. You can be here, narcotics, on the boat team, SWAT team. You do all these things. And, oh, you can retire here. And we're a family here, and you live here, and you work here. Your families can be raised here. It's getting safer and safer by the day. And man, you're lucky to be a part of our team.
I love that. That's good. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. We've had
you're done with my recruiting spiel.
Oh no, I mean, because it's not just about sheriffing. All kinds of other things as well, and that's why I thought it was valuable to keep talking about it. We've had a couple of incidents, and of course, we had an absolutely atrocious incident. I don't want to talk about just yet. Just quickly, Chief Winstrom, you've had a chance to talk with him, or have you had a chance to talk with him?
Yes.
And obviously, I wasn't going to ask you what your thoughts were beforehand. I mean, it's just not appropriate. If you wanted to say something, you could say it. And so now that he's been selected, all on board, seems like a great candidate. What your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, anytime you meet someone that has similar experiences, quite frankly, he was a police chief, and I was a police chief, and he's worked with sheriff's office. They work in collaboration with their sheriff's office. I just want to make sure that we're similar, you know, and I want to make sure that he understood that we're there, and we work very well together. We work on operations together. We have a couple of their employees embedded in our real-time crime center. I don't anticipate any of that changing. We had a good conversation, but you can't have just one conversation. You're going to have a couple of conversations. You're going to have months worth of that collaborative spirit and conversations and run things by each other. But we've done that. I've done that with every police chief. I mean, heck, I hired another one.
Yeah, I know you sure did. Tommy works for you now, right? Let's turn to, I guess we're kind of running short on time, and I really wish we didn't have to talk about this story with this child. Right. I was talking to Deanna Oleski yesterday, the medical examiner, and she's like, yeah, it's as bad as you think. It's traumatic just to experience this. Our investigators having to deal with this. What do we know at this point?
Well, she's been charged with aggravated manslaughter. Manslaughter is a death, not necessarily with intent. It can be voluntary, involuntary. You can do a heat of passion, or it can be an involuntary act. What we know is that the night before, her family called us and said, "Hey, we haven't seen our sister in a while. We're worried." So we get there and start taking a report, just a missing person. There was no concern about anyone else. And come to find out she had got her car fixed and that the mechanic had talked to her, so that relieved their concern. Someone has talked to her. Someone has seen her. Someone that they trusted.
She's alive, essentially, the mother, yes.
The very next morning, the sister gets some disturbing information, text communication from her, and which led her to believe that the five-year-old might be in danger. They contact us, obviously. Now, I'm in a situation where do I do a press conference? Do I just do a post? Do I let people know? And while we're working on that, unfortunately, to your point, someone found a plastic trash bag containing the body of the five-year-old in it. Now we know what we have, obviously. We have a homicide. And so, yes, I did. I went on there. We didn't set up a time. I wanted the information out because I think it's important for people to know what we're working. So we end up putting her out. We end up catching her, charging her with the death. And we are still working, just so everyone knows. We're still working. You can't, first of all, you can't morally and you can't criminally either just dispose of a body in a trash bag on the side of the road. That gets me.
Yeah.
Just hearing about what someone has done to a child before, right?
Even if the child passed away from explainable causes.
Right. That's no way to me, that's no way to respect the life of a child. And that's why even on my comment, I said, you know what, someone needs to pause for a second and think about this child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a preacher. But I'm a man of God, and I think that someone needs to show some respect for that five-year-old, the respect that I felt like wasn't shown in the way it was handled.
So at this point, you're waiting on the medical examiner's report to know cause of death so that you can decide what to do with the mother. And has she cooperated, said anything? Do you know anything beyond? I mean, I know you will tell us everything you can tell us, but...
No, there's no cooperation. Okay. We are waiting, and we work very well with the medical examiner's office. Mm-hmm. They got right on it, to their credit. And again, we all show up at the scene, and we all have our own parts to play in it. And there will be some information we'll get from the medical examiner's office. We did have enough. Our investigators worked throughout the night. Mm-hmm. I mean, for hours on end, and working with the state attorney's office and making sure that we had this, all of our T's are crossed, I's are dotted. And we were able to bring the charges of aggravated manslaughter, and that put her in jail. And then we're going to continue to look at the discarding of the body, and there may be some other charges that took place beforehand. It's just terribly tragic. And again, I have to say thank you to our deputies and our detectives who are doing such a great job.
Was it one of your deputies that found the bag, or was it a citizen?
No, it was we were
whoever
working.
Whoever is even thinking about this, let alone had to deal with it, it's traumatized. I can't imagine. I really can't.
Well, again, I think that's a good point. People don't really understand. You talked about the medical examiner's office because obviously they haven't spent a lot of time with the victims.
Yeah.
In this particular case, there was an individual that had walked that area some hours earlier, and then when they walked back, they noticed the bag that had not been there. The bag was over the rail on Lillian, but it did not go into the water. So he saw it, called us. We saw it. Again, the trauma you're talking about. Who expects to find the body of a child
hanging on the side of the?
It was discarded, and it was on the concrete before it got to the water concrete area. So again, we contact our own crime scene, and obviously work with the state attorney's office, with the medical examiner's office. And to your point, these are images that do not go away when you lay down. These are things that it takes some time, and you have to rationalize these things. And because you can't understand how it happened or why it happened, right? So your mind's not thinking correctly because no one should treat a child like this.
Right.
And certainly no one should discard the body of a child like that.
I said it again, I hate to have to talk about this stuff. It's atrocious. But I tell you what, it does give you an opportunity to think about, you know, we can be praying for anybody who knew her, the whole community. Be praying for the officers, your deputies, for the MEs, for everybody who has to deal with this, because it's and for the person as well.
Well, the extended family was concerned that they did call us when they first got word that the child might be in danger. So again,
and them too. Obviously,
we need to obviously consider what's taking place with the extended family, cousins, and whoever else would have known this child.
Sheriff, I hate to end at that point, but we are completely out of time. Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for walking with us through the lighthearted and the horrific things that you guys have to deal with. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
And I still, you know, this is the kind of event that, I mean, obviously, we think of what was happening to that child. But you just, I always think about these law enforcement folks, the EMS, the people from the medical examiner's office, that have to deal with this, and you can never unsee. You can never unremember. You can never. I mean, that's. And the person who found him, too. It's just. Anyway, 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
ZZ Top, the big one. April 2nd, Sanger Theater, Pensacola, Florida. Playing all their classic hits. ZZ Top. On sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Legend tells of a legendary warrior whose kung fu skills were the stuff of legend.
I'm here with the others, it's all the heavens testify.
You know, John, what I've been recently doing is I've been going now back and listening to all my old Christian, contemporary Christian music from the 90s. You know, Newsboys, Jars of Clay, Third Day, Insiders, all that stuff. It's a lot of it's really good.
It
much
is.
Better even than I remembered. I mean, you know, you're in it until you like it because you're listening to it. But partially, I'm sure it's because I had listened to it so much. But, oh, man, so good. So good.
That's awesome.
5:57 on News Radio 92.3. What if, you know, what if they had a, like, you know, halftime show where it was Jars of Clay and Newsboys and, you know, wouldn't that be an interest? Small Town Poets. I mean, that'd be kind of fun.
That would be.
It would. I mean, that would be a completely different demographic, right?
Yes. I mean, totally.
I mean, you know, anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. As the search for Savannah Guthrie's missing mother continues in southern Arizona, neighbors of 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie expressing their support for the family. Leslie White says the Today Show host is beloved in the Tucson area.
You know, so it's like a member of the family when I hear about Nancy Guthrie, and I sure hope they find her.
Last night, the Pima County Sheriff's Office said they were questioning a man that had been detained, but that man has been released as of this morning. The pride flag at the National Stonewall Monument has been removed following a directive from President Trump. The removal came about 3 weeks now after the Trump administration issued a memo about flying non-agency flags in national parks. And a House.
Does that mean all the Confederate flags will go away?
I don't know.
Don't we have some national parks? I mean, I assume Gettysburg is a national park, right?
I would assume so.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Good question.
I'm just asking the question. You know, if all the inappropriate flags of all kinds are going to go away, then all the inappropriate flags of all kinds are going to go away, right? I'm just curious. I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
so anyway, you make me think of it. Go ahead, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we'll find out. A House hearing on immigration enforcement got a bit heated yesterday, Andrew, during one exchange. Democrat Congresswoman LaMonica McIver asked ICE Director Todd Lyons if he thinks he's going to hell. Earlier, Lyons was asked if he would apologize to the families of Renee Good and Alex Preti. After the federal officials called them domestic terrorists.
What was really weird about that interaction is she kept playing with a ball of twine and a roll of duct tape. What was her last name?
McIver?
Local news.